This is Raylan Allen. You're listening to Radio RMN on the Micro Effect Radio Network, and my guest today is Cindy Steele. Cindy is speaking out. Cindy is the wife of Edgar Steele, Edgar J. Steele. Many Rumor Mill News readers remember Edgar J. Steele from conspiracypenpal.com. We have been posting him his articles that he has written on Rumor Mill News since 2000. And you will not believe the story that Cindy Steele is just about to tell us. Cindy, welcome to Radio RMN. I want to read the headline from the United Kingdom Daily Mail. I mean, folks, when they arrested my husband and threw him in jail, it just made the local newspapers. When they arrested Cindy's husband and threw him in jail, it was worldwide. Ex-Aryan Nations lawyer hired hitman to kill his wife, but she stands by him as he goes on trial. Cindy, you were a supporter of your husband, you know, throughout your marriage. You weren't a public speaker. You weren't an activist. And yet now, here you are as a public speaker, and you're going to be branded an activist because you are literally working for a man who stood up for constitutional rights for an American citizen. And just because that American citizen happened to be the number one enemy of the ADL, your husband is in prison. And folks, Cindy did not say this. I am going to say it. I'm going to say it loud and clear. Edgar Steele is in jail and on his way to prison today because the ADL is using him to send a message to every single human in the United States and worldwide. If you go against our Zionist One World Order, this is what's going to happen to you. Now, Cindy did not say this. Edgar did not say this. I am saying this because in my heart I know this is true. Now that I've got that out of the way, Cindy, can you lead us through what happened? How did it happen?
Well, you know, that's a question that I have still been trying to answer to this day, because it's beyond my belief and my knowledge of who I know my husband is, what his belief systems are, and, you know, who he is personally. We have now been married for 26 years. This is a man I know intimately. I know his deepest thoughts and everything, so I'm still struggling with that, but well, it has happened. You know, go ahead.
Let's go back to June 10th. Let's start at the beginning. How did it happen?
Actually,
what happened
at
7 a.m. in Oregon?
And I have to correct that. It was June 11th.
Okay.
But my first inkling of it was at 7 a.m. I was sound asleep, and I was in Oregon taking care of my mom, who had just come out of one of her mini surgeries. She was home, and I get a knock on the door, so I'm scrambling for the door, and there are two people at the door holding up these badges, and I open up the door, and the first thing they say to me is that they want to talk to me about my husband. Well, the sirens in my head went off, and I'm going, I'm not talking to you about my husband. And when they felt that they were getting some resistance from me, the next thing out of their mouth was that he had hired a person to kill not only me, but my mom, and they were out there waiting for my mom and me to leave so that they could run us off the road.
So they The FBI came to Oregon to your mother's house, and they told you that there were hitmen waiting outside to run you off the road.
Yes, that they were, and that we were, that they knew that I was leaving at 7 a.m. to take my mom to a doctor's office because I had a conversation with my husband the night before and told him that. Now, the red flag right there went up because I never told my husband that. First of all, it wasn't true. I wasn't taking my mom at 7 a.m. to any doctor's appointment. And you know, so I'm sort of going, well, yeah. And I did have a conversation with my husband the night before. I admit that. I mean, we talked. In fact, it came out in trial. We talked for something like 45 minutes. But
now, this should let everybody know that the FBI can be tapping every single one of our phones right now. And everybody should know that.
Oh, I'm sure they're listening to this right now.
Oh, well, I'm hoping, I'm inviting them to. Because, you see, the good FBI agents in the FBI, and believe me, there are ones. William Sessions was a friend of mine. And the good FBI agents in the Bureau, they know what's going on. And they need to know about stories like yours. They need to know what the bad FBI agents are doing.
They do.
And we're going to tell them. We're going to tell them.
And unfortunately, just like so many of us who are afraid to stand up, speak out, because we're afraid of them coming to get us, like they have my husband, they too are afraid to stand up, speak out, because they know that they're not immune to people coming after them and them losing their jobs.
And that is exactly right. When they arrested my husband, the reason that most of his colleagues, including the one FBI agent who was his partner, when he was arrested, they all went for the hills. They were worried about, how am I going to keep my children in college? How am I going to pay the tuition? How are my wife and I going to survive if they take my income away? And when the FBI agent, who was my husband's partner, when that man came forward in his trial and made it look like he accidentally told the truth, which he did, it was declared a mistrial, and then the prosecutor told my husband that I was going to be thrown in jail for 6 months, where I would be murdered if he did not plead guilty. And so he pled guilty, and his partner, the FBI agent, died of a heart attack shortly afterwards. In other words, that FBI agent, who was at heart a good FBI agent, was murdered for coming to the rescue of my husband. And so, Cindy...
And I believe that's, and, you know, and that is even more important. It's not just their family's well-being financially, you know, job, security and that. It is the threat of their lives.
That is absolutely
correct. If they dare to act on their ethical beliefs and step up to try to tell the truth.
Cindy, what did these FBI guys that came to your door? I mean, first of all, folks, when an FBI guy comes to your door, everybody feels, no, I can't talk to him, I can't let him in, I can't do anything. I'll bet you invited him in, said, have a cup of coffee, sit down. Folks, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to invite them in, you need to sit them down, you need to have somebody there watching them wherever they go so they can't plant drugs in your place, come back and arrest you later. But, Cindy, well, what did these FBI guys tell you he wanted you dead for?
One was life insurance, which, you know, I really couldn't 100% confirm it, but my recollection was that my husband and I had canceled our life insurance, which I was able to verify for sure. So I'm going, life insurance? Well, it can't be for life insurance. And then
you can't afford to pay it. Was that right? You can't afford to pay the premiums for it?
Well, our children were grown at that point.
Yeah.
And it was expensive, and we were trying to cut back, and so we decided we didn't need it anymore.
Right.
And it was securing our future, putting money away. We had a life savings, which she was putting away to secure our retirement. So that was one of them. But then they came up with the second one, and that was that Ed was having me followed by an investigator and had pictures of me because he believed that I had a boyfriend. Well, and they were saying that he had pictures, and I'm standing there going, well, I'd like to know what pictures they have. So I knew that was false because, well, I didn't have a boyfriend. You know, and I'm trying to go, well, I'd like to see those pictures because it doesn't exist. And both of those were later admitted by not the FBI agents that were there, but the main FBI agent that was heading up everything in Idaho, that those weren't true. And then they moved on to that my husband was connecting up with these Russian brides, and he was the one that was looking for a girlfriend.
Good
Lord. I immediately knew that that wasn't true because all those Russian girls that he was communicating with was a case that it started with a case that he was working on for a gentleman that had gotten scammed, and as he looked into it, he was seeing a book that he could write about how the Russian bride network was scamming honest individuals in the United States and connecting it to people in Russia. I mean, not Russia, I'm sorry, in Florida. And he was working the case. I knew about it from the get-go. He had started it back in, actually, 2009. And so I knew about all of his doings and exchanges with these girls, and that it was nothing more than him trying to expose the Russian bride scam, trafficking scam. But they have to take it and twist it to make it look more than that, and that Ed was looking for a younger, prettier wife, and that is why he needed to get rid of me, according to the FBI. But
and
I know,
interestingly enough, when my husband left me for a younger woman, shortly before I ever even knew that that happened, when he was still missing and I thought that he was dead, I got a call from a psychic who said, your husband just left you for a younger, beautiful woman because you are old and fat and ugly. A psychic. And then,
there's a gal out there that did two YouTube interviews or self-interviews that she put out there in regards to my husband. And she went on there and explained how I was old, fat, ugly, gray. She put so many adjectives on what a ugly person I was on it. I mean, I'm sitting there going, have you even seen a picture of me?
Well, Cindy, I have seen a picture of you, and I can verify that you are not old and fat and ugly. And I didn't even see any gray in your hair. I don't know. You may have some now, but it looked like a fairly recent picture. But,
that,
Go ahead.
Yeah, the picture that is on the picture that is of the family that's on the Free Edgar Steele website was
the one.
Was within the last 7 months before his arrest.
Cindy,
and,
you look young enough to be his daughter.
And I still don't have any gray in my hair, though I should.
But Cindy, you do look young enough to be his daughter. You realize that, don't you?
Well, thank you. I'm not feeling so young anymore, but, I've had people tell me that, and, but they're trying to claim that he needed somebody younger and, prettier. I'm sorry. I know that there are men that do that, but I know my husband for 26 years, and that was not going on, and, it's one of the among everything else, and more importantly, knowing that he did not hire anybody to kill me or my mom, that, it's why I can stand strong, hold my head up high, and speak out about this, and those nasty things that they want to say about me and about my husband, because I know that they're lies, I can brush them off my back. You know what? I can't say that that I'm not devastated in a lot of ways and upset, because I am, but I'm not cowering away in shame because I have nothing to be ashamed of.
Now, Cindy, one of the things you have mentioned to me that you received two calls from Sotka, and I never figured out who Sotka was. You said one confirmed what the FBI agents claimed. Who's Sotka?
Special Agent Sotka. He is the main FBI agent that headed up going after my husband. He is the one that was putting everything in place to have the two FBI agents in Oregon show up at my mom's door and showing up at my husband's and my house in Idaho for his arrest. He is one of the main players in taking my husband down.
Okay. Now, at the time that you were in Idaho, I mean, of course they had to have you separated in this. Did they tell Ed you were killed in a car accident?
Yes. Which, there are certain things that I wasn't finding out until much later. But it finally came to light that he was on his way to go to Spokane with a friend that day. And they called him and said that they needed to talk to him, and it was nothing serious, and but they just needed to talk to him. So Ed went back to the house, and they proceeded to tell him that I was killed in a car crash, in a car accident.
Oh, my God.
And that
God.
I was run off. And that they were waiting for details, and then they, they were, trying to, get a sense about why I was in Oregon. I mean, this is on a transcript, and Ed was asking for more details, and they were sort of hem-hawing around about the details, and then apparently Sokka got a call. And the next thing they do is they turn around and tell him that my mom was dead and had been shot.
Oh, my God. And then who's Larry Fairfax? How did Larry Fairfax get involved in this at this point?
At this point, Larry Fairfax, he was a handyman that we had hired, and what they claim that they have are these two audio tapes. And they claimed that on June 8th that Larry Fairfax, with his attorney at the time, James Michaud, approached the FBI that this Larry Fairfax wanted to come forward and be the good guy and turn Ed in for that he was trying to hire, he was being hired to kill my mom and I. And that's how he came in. He became or was, there have been people that claim that he has worked for them for years, for the FBI.
I would believe it.
As an informant, and he was part of the setup. He was their confidential source, which I did not have verification that he was the confidential source until the night of June 15th. So everything that was being said, on June 12th, when I was talking to Agent Saka on the phone, I confronted him about it, but he wouldn't admit that Larry Fairfax was the confidential source. But there was just too many things in place that I had already suspected that Larry Fairfax was behind it.
Okay, so when the FBI went to your house in Idaho and told Ed that you'd been killed in a car accident and your mom was shot dead, then they told him that Larry Fairfax did it. Is that what they said?
I'm trying to remember what it said. They asked him if he knew a guy by the name of Larry Fairfax, which, you know, he said he did. And they said that they had just come across a guy who had rolled his truck and he was barely alive, screaming that he did it.
And that was Larry Fairfax, supposedly.
And that was Larry Fairfax. Of course, as we all know, that was
a complete lie.
Another lie, because Larry Fairfax was well and fine and hadn't rolled his truck or anything.
Well, one of the things, she wrote me a note and said that, you know, after all of this, they thanked him for following his alibi and arrested him. And I never fully understood what that meant. Did the FBI thank who for following his alibi? And what alibi was
they
it?
Thanked, was, they thanked Ed for following his alibi.
And supposedly Larry Fairfax and Ed had an alibi worked out? Is that what supposedly was going on?
On the two, and please understand when I say recordings, the false recordings, they have Ed saying things that set up things that he was going to be doing on the 11th. And things that he was going to be saying, and in fact, I was told when Saka called me in Oregon to convince me that my husband was indeed out to kill me, is that they were there, and if Ed did this, 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 and this, that then they would be arresting him, and that he meant following the alibi. Now, they never told me what this, this, and this was. I didn't know exactly what list of items he had to do in order to meet their criteria. But according to them, he did this, 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 and that, and thus confirmed their accusation for them based off of those two recordings.
Okay. Now, Cindy, what happened the first, when did you get to talk with Ed immediately afterwards? I know in my case they kept my husband away from me for an entire week while the FBI tried to get me. Can you believe the FBI brought me annulment forms to my house and said, "If we know that you don't want to be married to this man anymore, here, please sign your annulment forms."
They kept
us apart for 1 week. How long did they keep you two from communicating?
I actually, later that afternoon on the 11th, got a brief call from Ed, and the only reason they allowed him to call me at that point was so that he could tell me that I needed to line up some people to go take care of our animals, which were cats, a dog, and our horses, because if I didn't, they would also be animal control would be coming in and taking my animals.